Hi, Al. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Randy. Thanks for having me. It's real cool to be on Canadian radio and talking to a jazz disc jockey. So yeah, it's great. My pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.
What brand of piano do you play?
I do not have any endorsement deals with any company, so I can't really say that there's anything that I play. Obviously, like most people, the right Steinway or even the right Yamaha piano is a pleasure. I've played some wonderful Bösendorfers, I've played some wonderful Kawais, I've played some, you know, I've played a lot of different instruments. But a good sounding Steinway, for my taste, is still what I like. I say Yamaha is right up there for me. Bösendorfer doesn't give me the same kind of satisfaction. I'm not quite sure why that is, even though I've played several really good Bösendorfer instruments. But, you know, for whatever reason, I just like the Steinways. And I like the way they feel. I like the way they sound. Again, I've played some bad Steinways. But by and large, those Steinways that I've played that were good, for some reason, I can remember them much better than I can remember all the other brands I've played that I like as well. So, I don't know. It's a spiritual thing, I guess.
What first attracted you to the piano, Al?
I don't know. It's either one of those childhood insecurity things or one of those spiritual certainty things. But even when I was playing the accordion when I was a kid, people would say, "What instrument do you play?" And I'd say, "Well, I play accordion, but I'm really a piano player." And I don't know why I said that, because I certainly wasn't any kind of piano player back in those days. But for some reason, that's what I thought of myself as long as I can remember. So therein lies the method to the madness. Finally, at 18, I decided to do something about it. Before that, it was all a distant dream or perhaps goal, and maybe at 18 I decided to actually make it a goal, which is what I did.
It seems as though you were bitten by the music bug early on in your life. Do you remember your earliest music-related memory?
My family was a very basic musical family. My parents had no real, let's say, extravagant tastes in music. They were basically commercial music kind of people. I mean, we didn't even have a record player in our house till I was about 13, and it actually belonged to my sisters. But once she got it, I sort of monopolized it and started going crazy buying records and stuff. But up until that point, television and radio was pretty much where it was at, and my mom used to always listen to these German pop stations, the one or two that existed in Chicago, which is where I'm from. And my father, he just kind of liked the most basic kind of pop music that you would hear on the radio or on some jukeboxes now and then. So there was never a great moment of revelation as far as hearing great music and going, "Wow, I really want to deal with that." I recall my parents we used to watch the Lawrence Welk show, for all you Americans that remember that thing. And that used to be that and the Ed Sullivan Show, which is, of course, where we all first heard the Beatles. I remember that I used to, when I was very young, I mean, some of my earliest memories, my mom bought me this toy accordion and this toy trumpet and all this stuff, and I was probably 3-4 years old. And I remember kind of watching Lawrence Welk show with a trumpet and or accordion in my hand, trying to sit there and mimic and rock to the Lawrence Welk show. I think those are my earliest memories about that, and my mother seems to substantiate that, so I guess I did do that. So there we are, rocking out to Lawrence Welk.
I'm curious to ask you, was your family musical?
No, not really. My mom was a kind of frustrated singer, and so she wanted all her kids to take lessons, because apparently she always bugged her mother to take lessons, and she never was able to. So to that extent, there was some musicality. But she was a great coach, really. She used to coach my sister and I. And my sister and I used to sing these German tunes. We belonged to this ethnic German organization, a German-American organization in Chicago. And it was called the Deutsche Amerikanische Kinder- und Jugendchor. And so we used to sing German tunes, and I'd play accordion, and we'd sing in harmony. And she used to kind of coach us. She was a real stage mom, you know, a real tennis mom. And she wasn't always the easiest. I mean, she made it kind of a drag sometimes. She didn't make it a lot of fun for us, but we did learn. And I have to say, sometimes, even today when I'm rehearsing my bands, I sometimes find myself being a bit like my mother about certain things. And so she was a very influential person to that extent. But in effect, really, we weren't, my family was not a musical family until I came along. And then my youngest brother, actually, he probably had the most talent of all of us, but he decided to be a lawyer because he just didn't, he saw me struggling all the time, and he kind of went, you know, he's 10 years younger than me, and he kind of went, well, you know, I made sure he had the best teachers, unlike myself, because I didn't have a very good musical upbringing. I had to kind of, I was kind of self-taught for a long time, even though I had some lessons. But I made sure that he had the kind of teachers I had in college. He was studying with them when he was 10 years younger than me. So he learned early, and he was quite talented, but he didn't have the music bug like I did. So he decided to get a real job and be a lawyer, which is what he is today. So that's the extent of my family's musicality. My other siblings, I'm the oldest of four, and my sister and my other brother, they took lessons, but nothing ever much materialized with them. So there you go.
Growing up in Chicago, I would imagine there was a process of osmosis going on in your life. Regarding this, the Chicago music scene, and also the rich heritage that goes along with it.
In all honesty, as I said, I grew up in a very musically, for lack of a better word, musically ignorant family. We weren't very aware of what I would say real music, for lack of a better way of putting it. I mean, we listened to the most banal form of pop music on the radio, and I say my parents really didn't have a whole lot of depth when it came to music. And so whatever I found out, I kind of found out on my own. And as I said earlier, when my sister got the first record player, i.e. stereo, in the family, I basically took over it and monopolized it and started going crazy buying records and stuff and learning from records, you know, learning, either banging it out on the piano or learning it on the accordion or both. And of course, as time went on, as I got older, of course, I grew up in the late 60s and early 70s in Chicago. So there was, you know, that was the late 60s and early 70s. And so, you know, we had the Aragon Ballroom where, you know, I saw, you know, everybody from Joe Cocker to Richie Havens to 10 years after. And one of my goals at that time was, after I saw the Woodstock movie, which I'm sorry I wasn't actually able to attend the actual festival itself, so some friends of mine actually did go, I kind of made it my business to try and be able to see every artist that had performed there. And at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, of course, we had a lot of these people that came there. Also, there was another place called the Electric Playground, and I was in the blues without knowing I was into blues. My first real blues record, I mean, it was kind of a quote-unquote white blues, but I got into Super Session, that Al Kooper, Mike Bloomfield, Steve Stills record that I didn't even know it was blues. I just loved the music, and I didn't realize until later that it was actually blues. But I got into that record when I was about 14 years old. I just thought the name of the record was so cool. I had no idea who these guys were originally, but it said Super Session, and I just thought it was such a cool name for a record that I bought the record, it was just, the first tune on there was Albert Shuffle. Now that's my name, Albert. Now that has nothing to do with why I bought the record, but I just thought it was kind of karmic, kind of funny, because, I mean, it was such a, I just thought that was such a great record. I still do, actually. But the actual music life, I mean, Chicago is sort of quote-unquote the blues town and all that stuff, which I think is putting it a little too simply, but I didn't get into that stuff until I was older. In fact, I used to live in the old blues neighborhood. I mean, when I got out of college and I rented an apartment with a guitar player, a friend of mine, we lived right down in that area where all those clubs were. And, you know, of course we used to go and hang out. We used to, I never really played in a blues band of that nature in those days. I did get some calls to do it. I just never could get, for whatever reason, I was always booked or something happened and I never got around to it. So, but I was always going to those clubs and hanging out and, you know, whatever. So, of course, you know, and I mean, when I was back, going back again, I'm sorry I'm going around all this. I mean, I got very much into B.B. King when I was like 14, 15 years old as well. So I've always been involved in music. I mean, I always liked it. I was, you know, and once I got a record player, I just went crazy and developed this record collection because I was just so into to records, as a lot of guys in those days at that time and other times, I think, as well, were. So... So Chicago's musical heritage really affected me much later. That's when I got into it and started realizing what a great town it was for that sort of thing. Because when you grow up in a place, you really don't know those things. I mean, at least early on, you just kind of take it for granted. It's not until you're gone for a while and you kind of go, wow, you're from Chicago. What about this? How about that? And you kind of go, oh, yeah, this stuff is pretty cool. I actually come from a pretty cool place. So that's basically it, as much as I can... articulate that.
Talk a little about your stint at St. John's Chapel.
I went to military school during my high school years for no real disciplinary reasons, really. It was my parents are both European immigrants, I should mention, and you know, they came to America with the American dream. Now, my mother is Lithuanian German and my father is Swiss German, so they came to America, and they met in Chicago, and they married there. And you know, they decided to, you know, my father decided that I was going to be a lawyer. Well, my youngest brother, as I mentioned earlier, is a lawyer. I didn't go that direction. But in any case, I did go to St. John's Military Academy, and during my time there, again, it seemed like, through all my years of school, whatever school I was in or wherever I was always sort of like the one, the musical guy, you know, the guy that played this weird instrument, the accordion, and actually made it sound good or something. Because, I mean, in those days, the guitar was king, and the accordion was like a bastardized instrument. And yet, even guys looked at me and like I had three heads, and then when they heard me play, they kind of went, oh, this isn't so weird. At least that's what the impression that I got out of it. So, in any case, being a cadet at St. John's Military Academy, they needed someone to play the Catholic services. And also, because I was a young musician, I was able to, you know, I was a part, I also performed with the Academy Choir and all that, and we used to go on these road trips to Detroit and Chicago and stuff like that. St. John's, I should mention, is about 25 miles west of Milwaukee on off of I-94, but we used to go to all these road trips, and the school thought it was good PR to have me play solo accordion. So once again, I was sort of always the, you know, the special musician and all this stuff. So what happened was that I would play the Catholic services sometimes, and there was also a piano in the chapel. And a lot of times on weekend nights, for example, you know, that we'd always have a movie or something in the gym, and a lot of guys would go to the movie, and I myself wasn't you know, I'd go sometimes, but I was so into practicing and developing because I was so intent on, when I got out of St. John's, to buy a Hammond organ and get into a rock band, that you know, that was my primary focused goal. Even when I was 15 years old, I knew that's what I was going to do, and study music in college and get my playing together. That's really what I wanted to do. So because I had these special privileges as sort of a PR token of the administration, I got a key to the chapel. So I could fundamentally go in there anytime I wanted and play piano and or the big church pipe organ. So there would be times on a Friday night when everybody would be out hanging out or doing whatever guys do at boarding schools, and I'd go to the chapel by myself and rock out and play Santana's, you know, keyboard, Greg Rolie keyboard solos or whatever on the big church pipe organ, dreaming when I would have my own Hammond B3, which ultimately I did. So basically that's my situation. I just was sort of like the token PR cadet at the school, and my musical situation allowed me to get away with certain things that a lot of guys couldn't get away with, and it also afforded me certain privileges that a lot of people didn't have, and it was great because that was the only way I could really develop myself on the other instruments, because the accordion, as similar as it is on the right-hand keyboard side of it, of course, your left hand is always a problem with organ and piano versus the accordion, because of course, the accordion, there's only buttons, and you know, there was no other way for me to really pound this stuff out on the piano or whatever unless I had the access to one, which I did because of the situation. So that's basically my stint at St. John's Chapel. I was the sort of the token cadet musician, as it were.
I would hazard a guess that St. John's Military Academy was a strict disciplinary institution. Now, what did this place mean to you? Did it offer you anything from a personal standpoint?
It was pretty strict, particularly when you were a plebe or a new boy or a recruit, whatever. Your first year was always kind of difficult. I mean, to put it mildly, there was a lot of hazing that went on. A lot of things happened. Naturally, at that time, I didn't really enjoy it all that much. But looking back on it, it was one of the great experiences of my life because I was allowed to grow up independently of my family, of my parents, whatever, in a controlled environment. I mean, it was a very controlled environment, but I was able to develop myself outside of the influences of being at home with my family. So by the time I got to college, for example, I felt like most of the people in college that I was dealing with were still a bunch of high school kids, and I'd already been living away from home for 4 years. So for me, it was a very maturing process, and it really toughened me up a lot, because before I went there, I was kind of, well, I don't know, I guess you could say I was a bit soft, and that school hardened me a lot. It prepared me for the music business, I can tell you, because, you know, it was a pretty cutthroat environment in a lot of ways, and, you know, things could be difficult. But once you became an upperclassman, and once you kind of got into the groove, it was always great to go back after the summertime and see everybody. And it was a great environment. I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. And one of the good things that happened there was because I had, though our time was very structured and I didn't have that much free time, I was able to really spend a lot of time with records there. So when everyone else was out fooling around and doing whatever they did, I would sit in my room with my accordion and just copy solos off records. I spent countless thousands of hours transcribing music when I was there, and I loved it. That was, like I said, preparing myself, as I said earlier, to get out of, when I graduated, to go out and have a band. And I just wanted to be as prepared as possible, and I just spent so much time learning music, you know, copying things in those days that, you know, were challenging to me. I mean, I loved the group Chicago. I used to copy every one of their things. And the Doors, I mean, of course, the keyboard bands like the Doors, Santana, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, those bands, I used to copy all that stuff on the accordion. And it really helped me, you know. And then I'd go over to the chapel and work it out on the piano or on the church organ, because you know, that was part of my musical education. As I say, I'm fundamentally self-taught, even though I do have a degree in composition. But most of the time, I spent that time practicing. I didn't really, music always seemed to come kind of easy to me. So I could fake my way through a lot of classes and dash things off that took a lot of people time. I could get them done pretty quickly. And I just spent a lot of time practicing through college. But at St. John's, that was where I, you know, basically formed the roots of everything and realized how much I didn't really know, and tried to educate myself to be prepared when I got to college that I wouldn't be a complete ignoramus. And when I got there, I realized that in some ways I was very ignorant, and in other ways that I was very advanced. So, you know, it was kind of a double jeopardy kind of situation. But being at St. John's was a great, great experience. And even though it's not for everybody, for me, it really, really helped shape my character and helped me, as I said earlier, prepare me for the ruthlessness and the difficulty of the music business, because it is a hard business. I mean, it's not all about playing your instrument. There's just so many other things that come into it. And you know, the glamour is what people see, but the reality, the glamour is what you see. That's the stage presence, and everything else is hard work. And even on stage, I mean, it's wonderful. That's the reward. You know, people think, well, you know, you're getting paid for 2 hours of work. No, you've already earned that money 10 times over by the time you get to the stage. The stage is your reward. The performance, the actual joy of performing is your reward. The money and everything else, that was well earned most of the time, long before you get to that stage. So, you know, that's always kind of a misconception about the music and or performance business, and that, you know, oh, you're getting paid to do what you love. Well, yeah. When you're on stage, you're doing what you love. When you're making phone calls and dealing with politics and calling people up and being on the phone and arguing with agents and going through all these things that you go through to try and make a living doing this thing, it isn't the you know, the piece of cake that a lot of people think. As much money as people like Madonna and or you know, these pop artists make, the truth of the matter is, whether they're overpaid or not, I don't know, but I can tell you that the musicians who play with them are definitely earning every penny they make, because the life ain't what everybody makes it out to be. The stage performance, yes, that's always fun, that's the thing. But when you are actually living the life, a lot, 95% of it is hard work. And the other 5 is being on stage. And by that time, if you don't have your act together, then it doesn't matter anyway, really. So, there you go. That's, you know, St. John's prepared me for all that, I think, in one way or another, and I'm very, very grateful.
I have to ask you about the band Flight. Now, I have 3 recordings by this band, and I was just wondering if this is the same group from the Midwest that you were involved with during the mid-70s.
Well, no, you have 3 LPs by this band. It is not the band I was in. That seems to be a very popular name, but we were together from, as I said, when I got out of St. John's, I got into this band when I just around the time I turned 18, which was the fall of 71. I graduated in the spring of 71, so it was fall of 71, and to make a long story short, a very long story short, basically, somewhere or other, someone suggested this name to me outside of the band that I was with at the time, because the band we were with at the time was called the Music Rebellion, if you can believe that. Talk about band names in those days. But and I, you know, they wanted to change the name, and it turned out somebody had kind of mentioned that name to me at school or somewhere, and I thought it was a good name, and I brought it up to the band, and they adopted it. Now, we never copyrighted it or patented it or anything like that. And since then, of course, there have been several other bands that I've heard about that, and you're not the first person that's actually asked me if I was a part of this thing, but the Flight that you have is a band that came after us, I'm pretty sure. And how did we get started? Well, basically, I was at the military school, so I was gone for 4 years from Chicago. I mean, I come home in the summertime and that, but my parents had moved out to the suburbs in the meantime, and I didn't know anybody. So when I came home, I did go to DePaul University in Chicago, so I was at home in Chicago. You know, most people kind of are at home at high school and then they go away to college. Well, for me, it was reversed. I went away to high school and came home to college. But I just kind of looked around, and I mean, in the meantime, I'd bought a Hammond organ and stuff like that, and I was kind of looking for a band to play with, and I went through, you know, in those days you could put new articles in the paper, I mean, you know, ads in the paper and so forth and so on, and that's what I did. So I was looking for people, and I tried out for a bunch of people, and, you know, I pretty much got most of the gigs, but what I found was that I didn't want to play with these people because they weren't very good. You know, I didn't think I was that good. I thought I was at the minimum of wherever level you're supposed to be at. But I would go out and play with these people who were supposed to be fairly good, and I'd play with them, and I just thought, wow, these guys really don't have their act together. Looking back on it now, of course, I was just barking up the wrong tree because I was meeting the wrong people. But in those days, I had no idea how to do this. I'd never been in a band before. I'd done a few solo accordion backyard German party beer drinking gigs by myself, but other than that, I'd never really, you know, I didn't know the music scene, I didn't know anything, I was completely ignorant. So You know, and one thing led to another, of course. I met somebody, and through that person, I met someone else, and it turned out that one of these guys was, Flight was an eight-piece horn band, and I met this horn player who was, and I'd asked him afterwards, I said, would you be interested in joining the band? He goes, well, I wouldn't be really interested in joining what you got here. And of course, all I had was a bunch of guys that I kind of had met and put together just to see what would happen. I really didn't have it all together at that point. But he said, but I have an offer for you. We're looking for a keyboard player in our band, and if you'd like to come down to rehearsal, I'm sure that the guys would like to hear you. So that's where I went, and this was the Music Rebellion, as I just mentioned. So, you know, that's how it started. And one thing led to another, and, you know, by addition and subtraction, we got rid of a few people, we added a few people, and we started getting it together. And it was a huge undertaking because, of course, you don't know what you're doing when you're that age. You just do things, and one thing leads to another. Luckily, we had a lot of guys that knew how to work as a team, and so we were able to move a lot of equipment in a hurry. Everybody, you know, did their share. Everybody was assigned to certain pieces of equipment. We had a band truck. I mean, this all didn't happen right away. It took, you know, several years. We were together about 4 years, 3.5 to 4 years. And, you know, over time, we became a very successful Midwest group. And we were opening shows for Styx right before they really hit. We were opening up shows for them at University of Notre Dame and University of Valparaiso. We were very big in the colleges around the Midwest. We used to play Northwestern and University of Chicago and Notre Dame and all these Midwest big universities. We used to play their homecomings and everything. We were quite a, for a, as a cover band, we were really one of the top bands in Chicago. We were very big in high schools. We had a lot of people in our fan club. You know, it was one of those kind of things. But we just never, our original material thing was not together. So when it came to really making our own music, we were a great cover band, but we were not a very good original band. And in those days, my composing skills weren't what they are today, even though you always feel like you're composing, you know, you can always be better at anything, but at least today I know how to write music, whereas in those days I just felt so ignorant and so unable to write anything, because I just felt like I was so unprepared, which is part of the reason I was studying composition, which was a great help anyway. So anyway, that's how the band got started, and that's how we kind of continued, and eventually we reached a dead end because we couldn't really write any good songs. And in those days, we didn't have computer technology. Today, everybody can, you know, has a recording studio in their bedroom. Today, in those days, you had to get a record deal. You had to have somebody put up money to get your studio time. It was a big job. I mean, we're talking about the early to mid 70s now. And, you know, so eventually I just got fed up and I left the band, and they hung in there for another year or two after I left. But eventually the thing folded. But it was a great run. And boy, it sure taught me a lot, taught me about arranging, taught me about everything, because I was writing all the charts, I was doing everything, and everything was done, you know, was a learning experience. So, there we are.
When you were growing up, you listened to a wide variety of music. For example, people like Keith Emerson, Rick Wakeman, Greg Rowley, and even Booker T. Now, they must have left a lasting impression on you, and were probably early influences on your playing.
Of course. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I did say Keith Emerson. I mean, I was a big Yes fan. Greg Rowley was one of my early heroes because he was with Santana, of course. And, you know, to this day, I think that first Santana, that Woodstock Santana band with Mike Shreve and Greg Rowley and, you know, all those guys, the first band, I think that was the best Santana band. Those first three records they did, which was Santana and then Abraxas, and then the third one with they had some Tower Power horns on the third record, and I still think those are the classic Santana records. I mean, since then, of course, he's gone through a lot of great players, and I mean, the bands have probably, the musicianship is probably higher than it was in that early band, but that early band was a real band, whereas later on it became Santana and you know, Carlos Santana playing with all these great players. And that's just, you know, and as an artist, he's got to do what he's got to do, and I'm sure that, you know, as the other guys, I remember reading an interview with Greg Rowley in Keyboard Magazine some time ago, and him saying that, you know, Carlos was starting to get into jazz, and Greg is by his own admission, not a jazz player. But he was the perfect player for that band, as far as I'm concerned. His organ solos, all this stuff, was simple, easy, but it was classic. And the fact that he became big time again in Journey says something, because he, you know, being the Journey keyboard player and stuff. I mean, that guy, for a guy with his limited, at least when you listen to him, he sounds limited. The guy played in two or three super group bands, and he was a solid contributor and singer in each one of them. And he's always been one. I'd love to hang with that guy and just talk to him for a while, because he was such a, you know, he's influenced so many people, he doesn't even realize it, because he was always kind of a soft-spoken, low-key kind of guy, it seems like. Booker T, again, another thing. I mean, when it came to when I was, you know, the Hammond organ wouldn't fit into my parents' house, so I put it out in the garage. And I used to go out there with my record player, and I would play with Booker T all afternoon or all evening. I mean, you know, just to get the organ sounds, to figure out how he got some of those organ sounds that he got, and knowing how to work the Leslie and all that stuff. I used to go out to the, you know, I spent hours and hours out in that garage playing that Hammond organ. And before, again, before I found the band. And, of course, Keith Emerson and Ray Wakeman, they came a bit later. They were all these guys. I mean, another guy was Ray Manzarek of the Doors. I mean, he was and Stevie Winwood was a big influence on me. I loved Stevie Winwood. Al Cooper. Some of these guys you haven't heard that much about. Some you have, and I was a big fan of these guys, all of them. And I spent a lot of time. I was a sponge, like you wouldn't believe. I copied it all, you know, as much of their music as I could, and I, you know, tried to learn how to play through these guys. These guys were my teachers. Funny story about Rick Wakeman. It turned out that years later, I was playing in Chicago. I was sort of the solo piano player in the Bloomingdale's Mall in Chicago on Michigan Avenue. When they opened up this, they call it 900 North Michigan Avenue. That was the name of the mall, and they opened up this incredibly high level, chic mall on Michigan Avenue, which they call the Magnificent Mile. And it turned out it was connected to the Four Seasons Hotel, which was next door, and I was the lobby pianist. I had a great day gig playing solo piano 4 hours a day for years, about four or five years I was playing in this mall. The money was great. Of course, I made a lot of connections for gigs. I mean, it was a very, very lucrative time in my life. It turned out that, Yes, we're doing their reformed tour. When they combined both Yes bands, the early band with, the original guys in it, like Tony Banks and these people, and then they had Steve Howe playing guitar, and they also had Trevor... I forgot his last name, but the later guitarist they had before Steve Howe came back, because that band, of course, is like a revolving door of people coming and going all the time. But in any case, it turned out that they were staying at the Four Seasons, and I'm sitting there playing one day in the lobby, and all of a sudden I look up, and down the escalator comes this guy, and I look at him, and it turns out it's Rick Wakeman. I look at him, I go, man, Rick Wakeman, and I knew Yes was in town. So I was kind of freaked. Rick Wakeman come down, and he kind of smiled at me, and he came over to the piano, and we were talking for a while and hanging out, and I was telling him, man, I used to copy your solos, and he's a very down-to-earth sweetheart of a guy. I mean, he was just really cool. He goes, man, don't tell me that stuff, you know. I don't want to hear that. And I'm not that much younger than he is. I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but I know that I'm not that much younger. But I am younger, and he was very, like, very gracious, very cool, and he said, listen, if you really want, would you like to come to the concert? And I was like, well, sure, I'd love to come to the concert. I heard you guys were in town, but I kind of, you know. He goes, look, I'll leave you, you know, how many tickets you'd like? I said, well, I'll come with my friend, two tickets. I'll leave you two tickets at the door. Just mention my name at the door, and I'll leave you two tickets. I couldn't believe it. And I don't know if I'll see, we're playing Sunday and Monday, so I'll give me your phone number, and I'll call you, and I'll let you know. And I was like, I gave him my card, you know, and, you know, you give your card to these people, and they go, yeah, yeah, and you never expect a thing. All of a sudden, I get home from my Bloomingdale's gig on Monday afternoon, and there's a message from Rick Wakeman on my answering machine. He's saying, okay, Al, this is Rick Wakeman. You met me the other day. I'm the keyboard player with Yes, as if I wouldn't know. And he goes, I left you two tickets at the door and come back and have a drink with us after the concert. And here we are. I mean, you know, and I called my buddy Lamus, whose real name is Rick, but that's my nickname for him because he's such a lame guy. And I'm such a sad low, so his nickname for me is Lotus. So Lamus and Lotus, if you will. I call him up and I said, man, Rick Wakeman just called me. I played him the message. I was a groupie. It was incredible. I left that message on my machine forever because I just thought, you know, finally one day by accident I erased it and it broke my heart. But I had Rick Wakeman calling me on the phone. And I've always been such a fan of music. That's the thing I think more about anything than, I mean, I really, like a guy like yourself who's a disc jockey, I love you guys because I really think that I probably should have been a DJ because I not a DJ in the sense that we know today, like playing private parties or that sort of DJ, but a guy like you that actually plays music on the radio. I love putting programs together and, you know, assimilating CDs and stuff and putting different tunes, taking a bunch of music and putting it all on, you know, one CD or whatever and creating programs, different musical programs and stuff, and I've always been a big fan of music as well as actually being a musician. I'm a fan. I love music, and it was so cool to like meet one of my heroes. Another guy that was a big hero of mine and was a big influence. I said earlier, Chicago were a band that we really used to I was an 8-piece horn band. They were a direct result of Chicago being one of my favorite bands. And Robert Lamb was one of my favorite keyboard players for a long time. He's another guy that doesn't get a lot of recognition, but he was a great songwriter, a really good singer, and a really for that band he was a great piano player. And one day I'm playing at the O'Hare Hyatt doing the lounge gig that we used to do in the 70s. You know, you play 5-6 nights a week in hotel lounges, you know, in a little trio quartet kind of bands with a singer and whatever. And they were playing at Poplar Creek in Chicago, and we were doing our gig, and they kind of came in towards the end of the gig, and I knew it was them, but by that time I was already a jazz bow, so I wasn't that into I was too cool to be into Chicago at that point, I thought. But, so I'm, you know, we got done with the gig and I start, you know, closing up my equipment and covering it up, and I feel a tap on my shoulder and turn around, there's Bob Lamb asking me to sit down and have a drink with him, telling me, hey man, I really dig the way you play. Would you come down? Can I buy you a drink? And I was like, man, you're the guy who I used to copy, you know, and no wonder you like my playing because I'm, you know, a lot of what I do is you. So we had a great hang, and he and Pankow were really great guys to hang with and everything, and so there we are. So they all had a big influence on my playing. In those early days, my early days, I mean, those were the guys, I always listened to the guys who I thought were the best players, and those for that style, those guys were the best players, you know, for me. So there you go.
Do you play any other instruments, Al?
I play all the keyboard instruments. I mean, piano is sort of my main instrument, but I mean, I also spent, you know, most of my later teen adult years playing Hammond organ. I started on the accordion, as I said earlier. I learned in the process of being a musician. Of course, I play a pretty good clavinet. I love playing the Rhodes, the Fender Rhodes, I enjoy playing synthesizer, but I'm not a brilliant programmer. That's one of the areas I'm not very strong in. But if I have the sounds basically laid out. I love playing the synthesizer. I love playing, and you know, any keyboard instrument I'm fairly comfortable with in varying degrees of proficiency. I used to play some guitar when I was younger, and I played some trombone and trumpet. I've played a lot of things, but I didn't really stick with them, so I can't really say that I play them now. I also played some flute, but again, I love playing bass. I'm not a bass player. I don't play bass, which is a great regret of mine, but I love playing keyboard bass, and it goes, that's part of having played Hammond for so long and that. I never did learn to kick pedals, but I learned to beef up my left hand enough to play a fairly good bass line in that. So that's pretty much it. In my old age, I'm really, you know, playing bass, playing drums. Those are instruments that I really like to play, and I fool around on them every now and then. But in all honesty, it isn't something that I can say that I do well, so I won't. I'll leave it at that.
What effect did the Berklee experience have on you?
And I generally did very well there, but for whatever reason, I let him let his comment talk me into going to Berklee. Well, Berklee experience turned out to be a real waste of time and money, honestly. Initially I went there because I just wanted to go for one semester and I wanted to study, you know, kind of choose my own curriculum, as I'd already had. In those days, Berklee didn't have a master's program. It just had a basic bachelor's program or a Berklee degree, a 2-year degree or something. And I didn't want either one. I just wanted to go there and take a series of private lessons, like in synthesizer programming and composition and piano. There were several things I wanted to do. And I wanted to take, you know, kind of just choose my own curriculum. And I felt that since I'd already had a bachelor's degree and I wasn't really a degree-seeking student, that I would be able to do that. Well, when I got there, of course, they didn't let me do that. They insisted that I go back and do what I'd already done, and take theory classes again and all this stuff. And naturally, I mean, I was already past that point and I didn't want to do that. So then it turned out I had to take an entrance exam, which, you know, kind of a placement exam, which again was just a waste of time because I didn't go there for that reason. Part of the problem was I didn't do enough investigation. I should have gone there and of course we didn't have computers and email in those days, so, you know, everything had to be done the hard way. So I either should have gone out there for a weekend and talked to some people, and or I should have written them a letter and told them I wanted to do, but I just assumed it would be okay to do it. It was a stupid assumption, but that's what I thought. So once I got there, of course, it was a very rude awakening to realize that I, you know, couldn't do what I wanted to do. And I'd already spent the money, I'd already committed myself, and they weren't going to refund it to me. In fact, I was in debt, you know, a huge debt for really nothing, because then it turned out they lost my placement exams, they put me in all the wrong classes. I mean, it was just a bad experience from one, you know, one thing after another. And I, you know, it was just one of those administrative screw-ups. I mean, there's a lot of people that go there, and, you know, for whatever reason, I just got unlucky, or maybe I got lucky because maybe I didn't need to be there, at least not for those reasons. And well, ultimately, after about 2 weeks, I got fed up and I left. It was a valuable experience. It was great to be in Boston. I heard Kenny Burrell, I heard McCoy Tyner, I heard a bunch of people in a very short amount of time, and it was a great, I even had some gigs offered to me. I mean, I probably should have hung in there for a bit, but in those days I was, you know, I didn't have the patience and or the wisdom that I do now, and I was just generally pissed off about the whole situation, and I just left. I just told them to hell with it, and they charged me whatever they charged me. I had to pay a lot of money for nothing, really, and it was, you know, this is not a reflection on Berklee, because I'm sure, you know, a lot of good people have come out of there, but my experience there was not really that positive, and it was just one of those situations, so there we are.
When it comes to composing, do you have a particular method or style that you use?
No, I don't. I don't know, I don't think of composing like that. When I write, as I said earlier, I've been writing a lot lately, but when I've written, when I've been somewhat prolific or consistent in my compositions, in writing music, my criteria is one thing: does it sound good to me? You know, I get the germ of an idea, and I think, you know, how am I going to develop it in the sense of, what is the rhythm? Once I kind of have a feeling for the rhythm that I want to use, everything kind of falls into place. But I don't have a real process. I basically just, my goal is to write beautifully. My goal is to write something that sounds good to me. I can't, you know, expect or interpret what the rest of the world's going to think. I can only go by what I think. But I try to write something that's sounds good and is interesting to me, and that's basically my only method or style that I have. Everything else is really up to the gods, so to speak. I don't I don't have any real major criteria for that. It's a very mood thing. It's a very very personal, and it depends on how I feel at a given moment, and what I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical pursuit.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical perspective.
I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment. In terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment, and in terms of what's going to come out.
Trumpet player Bob Perna deeply affected your musical
perspective. I feel at a given moment.